Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Last year, I began noticing when in the prayer times we'd have, whether it be in the prayer room or in here, wherever, in this body, kind of a change in the way prayer was taking place. You think at times it'd bubble up and there'd be more of a authoritative type of prayer, more of decrees and declares kind of bubbling up here and there. It wasn't consistent, but I mean, it would be bubbling up, and it was just like it was trending to taking and walking in authority. And we talk about exercising authority that God has given us, and it was showing up in our prayer times. And when we pray for individuals as well as for other issues, taking authority over sickness and disease and such, and deliverances and such. And the I didn't think much of it other than this is, you know, good, you know. And and I wasn't the only one. I mean, there was others praying the same way and noticing that. And then at the end of last year, 2014, and then at the beginning of this year, I started seeing prophetic words concerning, I mentioned this before, I go peruse through the Elijah list and go through the words there and just see what's happening, see if there's a trend in what's being prophesied. And I noticed that there was kind of a bubbling up and more of a indication of God was going to bring clear understanding to his people, his church this year, in what he's doing in the world and what he wants to do in the world. And it kind of tied in with the Hebrew year of 5775, the year of the window. And I've mentioned this before, too, that, you know, when a window in a house allows light to come in, light's in the scriptures representative of understanding. And so this is a year of greater understanding. And the understanding, you know, of what God is doing and what he's releasing in his church. And in that releasing, there's going to be a greater understanding of how to pray and the way we pray and in the with the authority and the with the anointing comes greater signs and wonders and miracles and more frequent signs and wonders and miracles. And that was going to increase this year because of our increased understanding in the way and how we prayed. And like I said, I started hearing these things, but I still didn't have, you know, kind of qualify with the way we were praying last year, guided by the Holy Spirit. Then I saw this word by Dutch Sheets this year, and then it all kind of seemed to come together. He kind of like qualified it, and it all just kind of ringingly made sense. And in it, he talked about the priestly and kingly types of prayer. And that's what I want to address tonight, as God has just given me the kind of insight, greater insight and understanding of that, because like I said, it's all kind of come together and he's connected the dots. And in this, with this increase, that's what God wants to release, an anointing and understanding and who we are in Christ. There's going to have to take place. There's going to have to be a shifting taking place in the way we pray, and shifting in moving from a priestly to a kingly type of prayer. And so I'm going to be kind of just talking through that. And at the end, when I had this all kind of came together last week, and I had mentioned this to Pastor Chris, who was laying on the beach in Dominican Republic, you know, and through an email and or a text, it was an email, and I don't know why she's reading her emails on vacation. I wasn't expecting her to answer, but she did, and she said she was getting the same type of word, and she's going to present that what she received. So God even speaks to the people in Dominican Republic, and don't they, Pastor Raphael? So, amen. And with that understanding of that shifting in the way we pray and more kingly type of prayers, we're going to see with that, accompanying with that, a greater release of the anointing and the signs and wonders and miracles. So I want to begin with this scripture passage out of Matthew chapter 16. And it starts at verse 18. It's very familiar to you, but please follow along. Starting at verse 18 of Matthew 16, it says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the English word church is translated from the Greek word ekklesia. Okay? Ekklesia means an assembly of people, a community of people, a group of people. Okay? And but we, Christian-wise, it's, we use the word church to translate that ekklesia. So it says, I will build my church, the ekklesia, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Verse 19, I will give you the keys. And now think what that means when given the keys. Those who have a key to your house or to a garage or a storage unit, car, whatever, you have keys because you have authority to open it, right? Authority to use it. And only, and if you give a key to somebody, you're giving somebody authority to enter in your house or your car or your storage unit, whatever it may be, correct? So keys then relate to authority. So I will give you the keys or the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, okay? Now the word bind there, the better translation would be prohibit. Whatever you prohibit on earth shall have been bound or prohibited in heaven. And whatever you loose, and again, probably the idea, the intent there is to permit. So whatever you loose or permit on earth shall have been loosed or permitted in heaven, okay, with this kingdom authority following us. Now, going back to that word ekklesia, like I said, it's assembly of people. And we use it church-wise as a church. However, it's interesting that the Romans had used it had groups of ecclesia as well. When the Roman Empire conquered a country, they would send in a group or assembly of leaders into that country to Romanize it. Okay, they would send in politicians established and rulers to establish a government. They would send in architects, builders, religious leaders. They would send in engineers and educators. They would kind of like force the people to learn Latin and speak the Latin language. They would design buildings according to Roman design and architecture, buildings, roads, and other structures. They would Romanize, do their best to Romanize that country and bring it to a Roman civilization. So that term, ecclesia, referring to the Roman, is what the Roman and how the Romans use it. Then when you think about it, the way Paul used it and the other gospel writers and Jesus used it, ecclesia, what are we, the church, to do? We are to go in and Christianize a nation or a group of people. We are to bring in changes to the way they think, the way they use a language, the language they use, have effect on the arts, the entertainment, to Christianize it. That's our responsibility as an ecclesia, as the Romans did, but use it in a more positive sense in bringing the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Rome, but the kingdom of God onto a group of people or a nation. That's our responsibility. That's our challenge that we have as the ecclesia. And as those Roman government went into a country, they made proclamations, they made declarations, they made decrees on behalf of Caesar, behalf of the Roman government and Caesar, and using the authority they had to act to make those decrees to bring about the Romanization of that population. We have the authority given to us by God through Jesus Christ, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to make proclamations and declarations and decrees on behalf of the kingdom of God to effect change in a nation or a group of people. Amen? You with me so far on this? Okay. Now, this brings us to what is taking place or has taken place to give us that right. It first begins with Jesus and the order of Melchizedek. In Genesis 14:18, it says, Genesis 14, beginning at verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king, okay, ruler, king, of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of God Most High. So he was a king and a priest, okay? He had priestly authority, he had kingly authority. Hebrews 6:20 says, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, as a forerunner going ahead of us, as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay? Melchizedek was a priest and a king. Jesus mimicked that in a sense and is a priest and a king, right? The forerunner before us, giving us a picture or a glimpse of what we would have for those who believe and trust in Jesus and then with the residence of the Holy Spirit within us. Zechariah then says, this is chapter 6 of Zechariah, starting at verse 13, it says, yes, it is he, Jesus, who will build the temple of the Lord, and he who will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. So Jesus now is prophesied to be both priest and king in the order of Melchizedek, going ahead of us, a forerunner, to give us an example of what that priestly and kingly authority is. Amen? Amen. Amen. So priestly, let's just define it, priestly authority. We are as priests to represent the people going and bringing the people to God. As think of the high priests of Israel. They represented the nation of Israel going unto God, correct? So it was a priestly authority they brought. They interceded on behalf of the people, and that's what we do. And that's what we've been in the habit of doing, interceding on behalf of people, as well as a nation, as well as a city, government, you name it. We are interceding and acting in our priestly role, which is good and fine and should be doing it, and we'll continue to do that. Now, the kingly office that we are in as well, the kingly office is representing God to the people. Just like the ecclesia, the Romans were representing the Roman government to the people. We represent God, the kingdom of God, to the people. And if that, we have declarations to make. Those are announcements or formal statements. Decrees, which are official orders or edicts or decisions of God's will and word. And then proclamations, the process of binding and loosing, the prohibiting and the permitting. So we have the authority to make declarations, decrees, and proclamations. All of this as we are led by the Holy Spirit to do. So we operate in both the priestly role as well as the kingly role. And that's what God is bringing in understanding and clarity to bring us to that point of we are kings as well as priests and need to be praying in a kingly, authoritative manner. Amen? So, where does it say that in the scriptures? Glad you asked. Who are we? In Ephesians 1, verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, understanding, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what has been left for us, what have we gained through Jesus' death and resurrection. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? So it's for believers, okay? You got to be a believer to receive this and operate in that authority. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, okay? All authority, all power, all might. Verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So obviously Jesus has authority over all spiritual and physical realms. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. He's going to say that again. And he gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church. Okay, which is his body. So we are in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So as Christ fills us, the body, his church, we also are filled in sitting with him at the right hand of the Father, operating and have the right to the authority that he exercised because we're his body and he's the head. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood," speaking to us, a royal or kingly priesthood. There you go. There's a combination of the offices, priest and king. "A holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim," there's that word, "proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So as a priest and king, we are to proclaim his kingdom and the excellencies of him. You know, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the offer forgiveness and restoration of fellowship to the Father. Revelations 5, verse 10, again says, "You have made them to be a kingdom." And who has a kingdom? Kings. You have made them, us, to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign over the earth, rule over the earth. As kings and priests, we are to rule over the earth. As we operate in that understanding that we are occupying two offices, priests and kings, then we need to believe in and understand that we have the right and actually the duty as the ecclesia, that who group sent forth from God to represent the kingdom of God and Christianize the nation, Christianize people, whether it be individually or over a entire nation, as we operate in that authority, we need to pray along those lines, to make those declarations, to make those proclamations, to make those decrees. It's not asking God to do it. We have the right given to us, just as a ruler would, or that part of the ecclesia, that Roman contingent going into Romanized. We have the right and the ability to represent God and speak, to bind and to loose, or prohibit and permit what is to take place as God's, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and so that the kingdom of heaven is represented on the kingdom of earth. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's through us as we operate in that priestly and kingdom authority. And what I believe is what's happening is that shifting taking place. It needs to take place, not just here, but throughout the church, throughout the world, to start standing in that kingdom authority. And I believe by the prophetic words have been popping up, been bubbling up, there's going to be a shifting by the Holy Spirit that more and more of the church, a greater portion of the church, is to begin operating in that kingly authority to start taking dominion over our situations, over our sicknesses, over our family situations, over the government, over the evils that are taking place in a government and in the world, and take that kingly authority over that and speak against the spirits, be gone in Jesus' name, which we obviously know we have a right to. Rebuke the enemy, rebuke the devil, and he must flee. Must. But we need to believe that, not just in the head and have the head knowledge, but the heart knowledge, and start speaking that way, praying that way. And so I'm just encouraging you, please start making a conscious effort to start making decrees and proclamations in your prayer times and declaring it. If you got a sickness in your own body or in the family, make a declaration. Declare it gone in Jesus' name. Declare health in your household. If there's division in your household, in your family, a prodigal child, declare restoration. Declare peace. Start declaring it and taking godly authority. And I think we're really going to be surprised by what's taking place, because we're in the last days. And and the timing of this rise in the understanding of our kingly role is going to affect the church ends up with this during this end time period, where it's growing darker and darker, but we as a salt and light, the church, needs to continue being a light shining greater in the darkness, and to do that we need to be operating in that kingly authority. Pastor Chris had a word, and she's going to come and kind of expound on what she heard as well, that ties into what I heard. And again, this is just a spirit thing.
I'm just hopefully going to be really quick, and I really was burning for Jesus in Dominican Republic. So, thing I sense is the Lord just saying there's a lot of firepower in this room tonight. We can change this nation. We can change this earth by the power that's in this room tonight. And he just wants you to begin to believe what kind of anointing that you carry, what kind of power that you carry. You do hold the keys to the kingdom. And whatever is bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when we begin to believe those kinds of things, there's nothing that we can't do in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to, when I was checking my emails, I do like to read the Elijah list as well. And I had marked that same article, and Pastor Mark sent it to me too. And I thought, oh, I just better read it. But it reminded me of Esther. And Esther's probably one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I like to read it for revelation and what's the Holy Spirit speaking to me about it this time. And there's so much there. She begins as this orphaned child, and she has to leave her country and goes to another nation, Persia. And before she knows it, she's being called to have to lay down everything that's hers and go and be, try out to be the queen, if you will. And by divine orchestration of the Lord, she becomes queen to King Ahasuerus. And I believe she's divinely positioned there by the Lord. And during that time, she couldn't necessarily see the king unless he called for her. Well, this decree was set against the Jewish nation. And here's Esther, the queen, a Jew, which her husband didn't know that she was actually Jewish. But she was divinely positioned there. And so her uncle Mordecai comes to her and says, you know, you've got to do something. You've been placed here for such a time as this. She asked other people to join her. She fasted. She prayed. Didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. And then she went before the king. She stood in that place of intercession. But I would say her intercession was more of a priestly type of intercession. When she went before him, she just said, you know, if it would please the king, you know, if it would please the king, she's worshiping him. If it would please the king, you know, would you come have dinner with me? He came and had dinner with her. And then if it would please the king, would you come have dinner with me again tomorrow night? He's ready to give her up to half the kingdom. She comes back again the next night and said, if it would please the king, you know, then she begins to tell him what's going on. And she tells him, there's been a decree made against all of my people. I'm a Jew. And there's been this decree made against us to kill us all. And he said, well, who would make such a decree like that? She points to Haman, the enemy. She exposes the enemy in the midst of her worship there to the king. She exposes the enemy, and then she finds favor with the king. And he said, you go write the decree. I'm giving you the authority to write the decree. And I'm just going to read some from Esther chapter 8 here. I hope I'm not losing it here, but she's going from a regular person to that priestly intercession and then that kingly intercession for her nation to save her nation. And I'm just going to read Esther 8:8. This is the king Ahasuerus telling Esther and Mordecai, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. That signet ring was this ring that anybody that had the authority of the king wore, and they would write a decree, and there was no changing that decree. So they couldn't change the decree that everyone could go after and kill the Jews, but she could write another decree that said the Jews could go after and fight back. And that's exactly what she did. She went from worshiping and praising, she went to this kingly intercession of ruling and reigning. And the Bible tells us that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's a position of ruling and reigning. We hold the keys to the kingdom, and we can bind on earth what is bound in heaven. In Job 20, I think it's 28, 22, it says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established to you. There's authority that we carry. Just as Esther, she wrote that decree. She went from being this peasant girl to the second most, really one of the second most powerful people. And again, it's a place of kingly intercession where she stood and she began to make the law. I wrote just the definition of decree is, just a simple definition is, it's an order or an edict or law made by a superior as a rule to govern over the inferior. The enemy is the inferior. And we can make the law. We set those decrees. And so I just want to spend some time beginning to set a decree and establish some things in the realm of the Spirit tonight. So if you'd stand, let's begin to... Don't be lazy. I'm going to encourage you, don't be lazy. We've got I believe we've got the firepower to take down ISIS in this room tonight. If we would begin to decree and establish a thing, and it says, if you decree and establish it, it shall be done. So join me tonight. Let's pray. You know what? We're going to pray for the sick tonight. Let's begin there. I just think we can decree a thing over cancer. We can decree a thing over prodigal children tonight. We can decree a thing over all the corruption that's going on in our nation. We can decree these things with the authority that we have and call those things not as though they were. So I invite you tonight to join us. And first, let's just start with if there's any sick among us, why don't you come? We're going to decree a thing over you tonight. We're going to decree healing over your body. Maybe there's no one sick in the room. Praise the Lord. Maybe there's someone sick. Let's decree a thing over cancer tonight. Oh, there is some people sick. We're going to decree a thing. Did you want to?